Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Father, these lips are not worthy to speak your name, but we ask that you would speak them and speak your word and speak it clearly this morning through them and glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. When God wants to get somebody's attention, he has lots of means at his disposal, doesn't he? Of course, I suppose an infinite number of means at his disposal. Used a burning bush in the case of Moses. Well, that would get your attention, wouldn't it? To come upon a bush that's burning, but it doesn't burn up. If you remember the story of Martin Luther, remember it was a thunderstorm that got his attention. Sometimes he knocks people off their horse and blinds them with light in the case of St. Paul. After his people were established in Israel, then he began sending prophets to them to get their attention and also to communicate his word to them and by extension to us because we now have that word recorded. But sometimes, you know, he just pays a personal visit. And that's what happens in our lesson this morning. These are rare events. We call this a theophany when God makes a personal appearance like this to someone, but it happens in our lesson today where he makes a call to Abraham. And our lesson is found in Genesis chapter 18, beginning in verse 17. And in this section of scripture, we already said God appears to Abraham in a personal form. I suppose it was human form because it appears that he's appearing as a man. And by the time we get to our verses, he's wrapped up most of his visit by then, when we come to verse 17. And he's getting ready to leave, and when he appeared to Moses, by the way, he had two companions with him. I suppose they were angels. And here's what he said when he's getting ready to leave, verse 17 of Genesis 18. He says, And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." Now, when we come across a short passage that's part of a longer passage, and it's sort of out of context like this that we read it, then what we want to do is start asking our questions about the context and fill that information in. And the first question we want to ask is this: what is this thing? He says this, right? He says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing?" Or in one version it says, "This thing that I am doing, what is that?" Well, when God asks this question, it's a rhetorical question. And first off, the answer to the rhetorical question is, well, of course not. Of course I'm not going to hide this thing, whatever it is, from Abraham, what I'm about to do. Now, what is he about to do? Well, he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah is what he's going to do. That's building up to that in the very next section of Scripture. Building up to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah when God rains down fire and brimstone on those two cities. And God says about those two cities that their wickedness is so great that it is crying out to him in heaven. And so he's going to destroy them. And that's what he's about to do. What does that have to do with Abraham? Abraham doesn't live in Sodom and Gomorrah. No, but he does live next door. He lives close to Sodom and Gomorrah. But more than that, Abraham's nephew lives there in Sodom and Gomorrah. His nephew is named Lot, and he lives in Sodom. And God is giving Abraham a chance to pray and plead for the life of his nephew. And Abraham takes that opportunity, and he does pray for the life of his nephew, and God spares his nephew and his family. There's another reason, though, that actually is listed right here in our lesson that tells us another reason why God makes this Abraham's business, even though at first glance you would think it is not Abraham's business, what's going to happen in Sodom and Gomorrah. And that is this: shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since, or because, Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And God is making certain that Abraham knows in no uncertain terms that what is going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah has been done by God's hand. Some people say, well, God would never do something like that. Well, yes, he would. And fire and brimstone rained down upon the cities and destroyed everyone except Lot and his family, Abraham's nephew and his family. And that is an object lesson for Abraham, right, who's the father of the Jewish nation, God's own people, so that Abraham will teach his children and they their children and they their children that God's grace is not something to be trifled with. Right? And that's what it says, right? For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Now you may say to yourself, hold on just a second. I thought God was long-suffering and slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Well, of course he is. He is, but there comes a point where someone, or in this case, two entire cities, decide to reject God's grace and make a deliberate decision to openly flaunt sin in God's face, that God will finally say, enough. You have passed your time of grace. And that is what happened here. And sometimes, at least in this case, God even says, I'm going to remove you from the earth so that your poison does not affect generations to come after you. And God is telling this to Abraham so that he will command his children and his children's children. It's an object lesson for them, in other words, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Now, what's that? What's that all about? Right? That's what he says, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. What is that last part? Well, what God has been speaking to Abraham, if you go back just a few verses, you will see that God tells Abraham and his wife Sarah that by this time next year, they're going to have a son. And that son will be the beginning of this great nation of people that today we call the Hebrew nation or the people of Israel. And through them, the Messiah will come, and he is who will be a blessing to the entire world. You know, don't you think, I'm going to go back just a minute to this warning. Don't you think that would resonate? Don't you think Abraham gets up the next day and he looks off in the distance and he sees the storm clouds over Sodom and Gomorrah, which were miles away, but he could probably see the smoke rising, maybe even from where he lived. Don't you think that would resonate with him? I bet he had a hard time sleeping for a few nights after that, don't you? But even this harsh warning to Abraham is in the service of God's grace. Isn't that right? Isn't that amazing? It's in the service of God's grace because some 1900 years later, he fulfilled this promise to Abraham. And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Right? So even in God's warnings, they serve the purpose of his grace. And Jesus came and he was born for you and for me. He was born to save your soul and to save mine. That was the purpose for which he was born in Bethlehem. And he was born there because you are on God's mind. Isn't that an amazing thing? You say, am I really on God's mind? Yeah, constantly. You're constantly on his mind. Do you really think God thinks about me? Yeah. Amazing. And he wants you to know that when Jesus died upon the cross, which was the entire purpose for which he came, he paid the price for your sins so that you do not have to endure what the people of Sodom and Gomorrah did, except for all eternity. Your sins are forgiven and they are wiped clean. And I wonder if someone in here might be wondering if you have crossed that line in your life. You know, sometimes a person might wonder that. If I cross this line, if I pass by my time of grace, you might be concerned about a sin that you've committed in the past or something and just wondered. Well, here's the key. The hallmark of someone who has crossed that time of grace is their lack of concern for it. That's the hallmark. If you had gone up to somebody in Sodom and Gomorrah and tried to tell them about God's grace and that actually when the Messiah comes, he's going to pay for their sins too, they would not have cared. They would have said, get out of here. I don't want that. That's not for me. That's not what I want. I want my sin. That's what I want. And so if you are concerned about it, that is a sure sign that you are not among those people who have passed that time of grace. If you are concerned about it, that's a sure sign that God's Holy Spirit is at work in you, keeping you close to him. So believe what he says when he says to you, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Amen. Would you please rise and turn, and you would, if you would, in your hymnal to page 85, and we will pray together the Lord's Prayer that is found there for us on page 85. We pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.